Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's the final day of the campaign for the candidates before Election Day tomorrow. In the governor's race, Republican Charlie Baker spent part of yesterday trying to win votes in Mattapan and Roxbury, while Democrat Martha Coakley tailgated with football fans in Foxborough. For one more time before Election Day, we're joined by our political team to look back and look ahead to Election Day. Democrat Dan Payne, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
And good morning, Republican Todd Domke.
Good morning, Bob.
Seems like a look back is appropriate right now at this 11th hour of the campaign. What were the candidates' best and worst moments? Dan, you start.
Well, Coakley's best moment or moments were when she went after Baker for his tenure as CEO of Harvard Pilgrim. He regarded that as his signature accomplishment. She had a double-barreled attack. She said he cut jobs and he knocked people off the insurance rolls. At the same time, she repeated that he had taken a raise that moved his pay up to $1.7 million. So she took what he considers his crowning achievement and she crowned him with it.
Worst moment for Coakley?
When she couldn't really explain what happened about prosecuting Sal DeMacy. She claimed that she and her office as AG had prosecuted him when, in fact, it was the feds who did. And then she specifically mentioned the name of someone in that case who, she said, is in jail now, but he's really not in jail. He's on probation and he had to pay a fine.
Todd Domke, best and worst moments for Charlie Baker.
Well, earlier I thought Baker's best moment was crying in the debate. Then I thought his worst moment was crying in the debate when it was reported later that he had been telling that same story for 5 years.
Is it enough of a flap to derail this race for him, Todd?
Well, it certainly hurt his momentum at the end to be on the defensive. He has said he's had 10,000 conversations in this race, so he should have been able to tell a poignant story that was more recent instead of one 5 years ago. So it did backfire on him.
Yeah, Baker got a lot of points the next day for that crying moment. And then he probably was crying all weekend, wondering why he raised that example without knowing the name of the fisherman or even the city where this happened. I mean, there have been a number of attempts to verify this. The mayor of New Bedford, I thought, made the most interesting comment. He said that what Baker had done was play on a stereotype of New Bedford where people go into fishing rather than go into college. And he thought that was demeaning to the city of New Bedford and the fishing community.
Did the Coakley campaign have enough time to make hay about this, though, for it to be to her benefit tomorrow on Election Day?
The problem was that Mayor Menino's passing wiped out all opportunity for Martha Coakley to score points on this issue all weekend and probably into today. So unless she has a television commercial ready to go, her opportunities to exploit this problem for Baker were extremely limited.
Well, they did manage to get some of the questions out about why didn't he do something to help this fisherman? Why can't he say where he met this guy if this was so memorable? They managed through social media and through their field organization to get enough questions raised that it did hurt him.
Dan, expand on the impact on the campaign of Mayor Menino's death. Who was helped or hurt by the temporary suspension of campaign activities out of respect for him?
Well, I think Baker probably was hurt by this damaging story that he told about a fisherman, and he didn't have to account for it really starting on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because all the news was about Menino's funeral. Coakley, for her part, similarly, couldn't really get out much information about it. She couldn't keep holding his feet to the fire because she went to the procession at Faneuil Hall and she had to be respectful of Menino. Interestingly, she went to the Pats game and shook hands outside in sharp contrast to when she ran the last time for U.S. Senate in the special election, when she was asked if she'd go to Fenway Park and shake hands during a Bruins hockey game. She said, well, I'm going to stand out there in the cold. Well, yesterday it was cold, rainy, snowy, windy in Foxborough, and she went and shook hands.
That's right. Right before the suspending of campaign activities, both candidates were on the defensive, let's remember, on some serious issues. Baker on why he didn't do more to end suspicion about his role in the pay-to-play controversy in New Jersey and the fisherman story. And Coakley was on the defensive about whether she looked the other way on political corruption. I think they both felt relieved that they could avoid or at least minimize questions from the media.
So at the 11th hour, who has momentum, Coakley or Baker or neither, Dan?
Well, if you look at the polls, and we're forced to get one, I think every 10 minutes, I believe, we get a new poll, they all seem to say the same thing, which is that Baker is leading. It's going to be difficult for Coakley to change the dynamic of that. She's hoping to use the Democrats' superior get-out-the-vote effort to minimize the Baker lead. I think it can maybe account for 2 or 3 points, but no more than that. So it'll be tight, and she's going to need every one of those votes.
I agree that Baker had a slight lead. I don't think he necessarily had the momentum he did the week before going into the final weekend, but he seemed to have the advantage in the final days.
Republican Todd Domke, thanks a lot.
Good to be with you, Bob.
Democrat Dan Payne, same to you.
You're welcome, Bob.